appreciate the fine job, Matthew Jesus. I want to point out that Jesus is co-eternal with the Father. Everybody turn to Isaiah 44:6. It says, thus saith the Lord to the individual, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, and the first, and the last, God's neighbor is your God. Now, notice these same phrases that are said about Jesus. Revelation 1:17, fear not, I am the first and the last. Revelation 22:13, I am the Alpha and Omega, beginning and end, the first and the last. God of the Old Testament and Jesus, in the same terms about first and last for you, meaning it had no beginning, from everlasting, with God. Now, you know something else that my brother David Tan pointed out to me, that I didn't realize about this passage. It says, thus saith the Lord, notice the King James all uppercase, which means grandson, King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. That's the tenth grandson. Now, who is that? Who's the second one there? It says, thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. Tetragrammaton is referring to both of them. There's two different individuals there. The second one is the Redeemer of the first. Not that he redeemed him, but he's the one that he used to redeem all of us. You know, just taking simple language as it stands on the face of it, and that's what we ought to do with the Bible. It shows there's two there. The Tetragrammaton is referring to both, and the second one is referring to Jesus. That's the God of the Old Testament, and it includes the Father and the Son, according to that. Now, in Hebrews 11:17, Matthew, my friend, brought up about Isaac being the only begotten son of Abraham. Matthew, when I said that Jesus was the only begotten son of God, that didn't mean that anybody who's only begotten is God. That's not what I meant to say. He says, okay, Isaac's the only begotten son of Abraham. That proves that Isaac is not Abraham. Again, Matthew, you're not debating a one-step compliment. I don't believe that Jesus is the Father. You're right. If Isaac is the only begotten son of Abraham, that proves he's not Abraham. But Abraham was a man, right? Was Isaac a monkey? He was a man. If you're the only begotten son of a man, literally, if you agree that Jesus is the only begotten son of God, literally, that's where you've got any shadow of doubt. You're God. You're God. If you're the only begotten, literal son of God, you're God. You're Jesus. So, a son of a human, we're speaking literally, is always a human. Evolution is not right. Man didn't come from a monkey. Every time, if you're talking literally, you say the son of someone, you're of the same nature. If you're talking about a son of Jesus, he's my son. He's the son of a man. That proves he's not me, he's my son. Since I'm human, that proves he's human. Jesus is the literal son of God, the only begotten. It's literal. Now, do you agree? Since God, the Father, is deity, God, that means Jesus has to be deity, has to be God. Not God the Father, you're right. It proves he's not God the Father, but it proves he has to be deity. Same way the fact that Jesus is my son proves he has to be human. He'd be a monkey.
Mark put it number 10, a significant passage that Matthew would like us to consider. John 17, verse 3. The Bible says there, this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Now, the Bible calls, in this case, God the Father. We know it's not talking about the Godhead, three persons of Godhead, because Jesus Christ is mentioned in the same passage. It says he's the only true God, but only here is not contrasting the Father against the Son, but the Father with all those who are false. Matthew, you don't think Jesus was false in his sense, do you? So it's not contrasting God the Father as the only true God versus Jesus not being part of the only true God. That's not the contrast here. Because Jesus is not false. This is a contrast between the true God and false God. For example, everybody turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Leave that chart up, Mark. In Ephesians 4, 4 through 6, you have the phrase, one Spirit. Then you have the phrase, one Lord. And then you have the phrase, one God and Father of all. It says one Lord. Matthew thinks that's referring to Jesus. I believe I do. Yet, it says there's one Lord, but he also believes the Father is also Lord, false. So, when it says one Lord referring to Jesus, it's not a contrast between Jesus and the Father. It's a contrast between Jesus and all the other false lords. You see what I'm saying? It's not a contrast between, when it says one Lord, Jesus and the Father, because the Father is also Lord. I can show passages that prove that the Father is also called Lord. Matthew doesn't believe that. John 17:3 is the same way. It's not a contrast between God the Father and Jesus, so that God, Jesus is not God. It's a contrast between God the Father and those who are false gods. Matthew agrees and thinks Jesus is not false. Look at these other illustrations. Isaiah 43 verse 11 says, I am the Lord. That's God the Father. It says, besides me there is no Savior. It could be the whole Godhead. I'm not sure. But his perspective is God the Father. I am the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior. Does that mean Jesus is not a Savior? Ephesians 5:23 says He is a Savior. So it's not a contrast. Besides me, there's no Savior between the Father and the Son. It's a contrast between the Father and all other false Saviors. 1 Kings 8:39, for thou, even thou only, knowest the hearts of men. But what about Jesus? Luke 5:22, Jesus knows the hearts of men also. So this contrast in 1 Kings 8:39, you think that's talking about God the Father. It says, besides me, I'm the only one that knows the hearts of men. It's not a contrast between Him and Jesus. You agree that Jesus knows the hearts of men. Psalm 51:4, David said, against thee only have I sinned. David speaking to God. Well, it's not a contrast between he didn't sin against Bathsheba, Bathsheba's husband. You're right. No, he wasn't meaning that. Alright? So only didn't rule out Bathsheba's husband. Genesis 7:23, Noah only remained alive and they that were with him in the ark. According to Matthew's reasoning, that'd be a contradiction in the same verse. Noah was the only one saved. Then it says more people. It's not a contrast between Noah and his family. It's a contrast between Noah and all those that were saved, not saved, the other family. See that? I think we have enough of that. The fact that he's called the only true God, Jesus is called God. You admit that, and you don't believe he's a false God. So John 17:3 wouldn't mitigate it. It's okay. Because he's not a false God, and he is called God, and you admit that. Or do you think maybe John 17:3 is the only true God that's called the only true God? No, you don't. And then Acts 20:28, put up 14, Mark. You know, it says, see the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. Now, that's pretty plain. You're going to have to work around it to get around it. Why not just accept what the Bible says plainly? Obviously, that's talking about Jesus, because he says that this God purchased the church with his own blood. Now, Matthew, you can take any literal phrase and come up with a very rare figure of Jesus. Yes, he said, my own flesh and blood. Let me ask you, the audience, a question. In that sense, Jesus is our own flesh and blood. Why? Because physically, genetically, but God the Father has no flesh and blood. So it is impossible for God the Father to say Jesus is our own flesh and blood. Because God the Father doesn't have any blood to be in the air. Does everybody see that? Mark, what is that, 14? Everybody see that? Jesus is the flesh, is Mary's own flesh and blood. Now, he is not God the Father's own flesh and blood. The only way you can be somebody's own flesh and blood is if you inherit genetically their flesh and blood. Jesus didn't do that. The Father didn't have it. That won't work that way. Now, let me ask y'all a question. Suppose I saw a baby on the railroad track, and the train was coming. He ran over there, and threw the baby off, and the train hit him, and he saved the baby. And I went around saying, then I saved that baby. And they said, you didn't do it, he did. No, but he's my own flesh and blood. That's what they're talking about. Jesus dying on the cross, shedding his own blood, and Matthew has it when he was really God the Father, saying that he did it because of his own flesh and blood. He stunned it. No, nobody would take credit for saving a baby off a railroad track because they stunned it and say, well, it's my own flesh and blood. That's what you have to do. Just as if God the Father. If God the Father takes credit for the death of Jesus because of his own flesh and blood. No, he would never do that. Nobody would ever do that. Nobody would ever claim to be the hero of the situation without their own flesh. And that's beside the fact that it's impossible for Jesus to be the flesh and blood of God the Father. God the Father doesn't have any flesh and blood. Now let's look at Philippians 2. Now, this passage says that Jesus is equal with God. Now, everybody look at it. Now, other translations say the thing not to grasp, but other translations make it clear that's what I'm saying. I don't consider this thing to be grasped. I had it, and I let it go. That's what the other translations say about that. In King James, it says, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. That means he was equal with God. If he claimed to be God when he wasn't, that would be robbery. He would be stealing something that didn't belong to him. So he was equal with God. Now, here's what Matthew said. He said, no, he was in the form of God, so he was not God. Let's see how that works. So in verse 7, it says, he took upon him the form of a servant. Does that mean Jesus wasn't a servant? He wasn't really a servant because he was the form of a servant? Let's see. He was made in the likeness of men. That means he really wasn't a man. He was a man. He was just in the likeness of men. Now, I'm going to say this with all due respect. Matthew doesn't really believe his own argument. He thinks he does. He's definitely not dishonest. He doesn't believe his own argument. He thinks, or he said, that form of God meant that he was not God. But if he really believed that, he would think form of servant would prove that he wasn't a servant, and likeness of him would prove that he's not a man. He doesn't believe it. And then, you know, his positional myth doesn't even make any sense. What is the whole point of Philippians 2 in that context? It's that Jesus is the Lord. What does it say he did? The first way he lowered himself was by his own flesh. Then he lowered himself to the middle of the net. Now, when you go home, just think about this. This verse said it. He thought it not robbery to be equal to God. Before he became a man, he thought it not robbery to be equal to God. And that's his position to have him as a claim to God would be robbery. He would be sitting something in the room. And then Matthew says that the Father is called the God of Jesus, but not the other way around. Oh, yeah. Hebrews 1:8. Father said, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. Isaiah verse 9:6. Bible, God the Father calls Jesus the mighty God. And then he says that Jesus was the Father's Son literally. I tried to get that as an exact quote. That was important. That's what Matthew said. He says Jesus was the Father's Son literally. I agree with that. The Son of God means he is God. If Jesus was the Father's Son literally, then he would have to be God because the Father was God. Just like Keith is my son literally, therefore that makes him a human. It's true. And then Luke 1:35, it says that Jesus, from his conception, the Holy Ghost, therefore he is the Son of God, because he was born that way, right? And so, according to Matthew, that means that Jesus was not the Son of God, or he did not exist when he was born. That won't work. That won't work. Hebrews 1:8, well, he's God. Remember that quote from Psalm 45, verse 6. He was called the Son long before he was born physically. Long before he was born physically. Himself 45 or 6. Now, how can he be called the Son long before that? First of all, there may be other reasons that Jesus is called the Son besides the fact that he's the middle of the Son of God. I suspect that he is. He's second in command. And maybe other reasons. Suppose that was the only reason that he's called the Son of God. He's physically born. He's sustained by the Holy Ghost. He still can be called the Son of God from his birth in the past because God knew what was going to happen. He knew and he's going to be born, literally, and he would be his little son, therefore he would call his son the very same son. That was the only reason he called his son. I believe there are other reasons, but that would still work. Hebrews 1:8, he was called the Son of God long before this. Psalm 645, verse 6. Now, do you remember Hebrews 1, verse 10? We pointed out some passages that talk about Jesus being the creator. Matthew didn't have time to respond to those. But I emphasized Hebrews 1 verse 2, Colossians 1 verse 16, and I began to emphasize Hebrews 1 verse 10. Now, will anybody here deny that Hebrews 1 verse 10 is talking about Jesus? It says, thy throne, O God, is forever. God, even that God, remember? God is called the God of Jesus. Talking about Jesus then. He says, and thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth. That's talking about the Son. That's talking about Jesus. Not only did he exist way back then, but he helped create the earth, according to that. He didn't start existing when he was born of Mary. Hebrews 1 verse 2 has in these last days spoke to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. So God the Father created the world by the mechanism of the Son, Jesus Christ. I don't know exactly how they did it, because God the Father created the creation through the Son. And in this place, if he did it through the Son, they were both there. Jesus is called the Creator. Let's go back to Colossians. Remember I said this was the key because this helps us see that Jesus is not just a God in the sense of a small KG. Colossians 1:16, remember talking about his dear Son, giving me a redemption through his blood, 14, through the image of the invisible God. Obviously that's talking about Jesus. It says, well, by him were all things created that are in heaven. Like, maybe that's the stars. Who created the stars for today? Jesus, were there any stars around before he was born? There, of course. And that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be a throne, dominions, principalities, powers, all things are created by him and for him. Who's the him here? Jesus Christ.
He is before all things, and by him all things consist. Does that sound like a judge in Israel? Israel, by him all things consist. This world and all the people in it consist because Jesus holds it all together. That is a God with an uppercase G, no doubt about it. Thank you very much.